welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
So yes, enjoy your Mother's Day. It's lovely to see Rachel. This is your first Mother's Day, isn't it? Anybody else having their first Mother's Day? No? It must be amazing for you just this year. But you know, I know that Mother's Day brings mixed emotions. And so I just want to acknowledge that as well at the outset, that it's not all plain sailing when you're coming up to a day like this. Maybe if you've lost a mother or there's a difficult relationship, it's not always all the rosy in the garden. Sure, it's not. But yet, God's word is still true and he's still faithful. And what I find is that he, even in the difficult circumstances, he never leaves us. And that's the only comfort we need, really, through life's up and downs, that he never leaves us. He is always, always with us. There's not a moment that he leaves us on our own. So we can take hold of this word today. And, you know, I believe that as mothers, God wants to help us. You know, he never leaves us on our own to just go through this life and find a way to work it all out by ourselves. He really wants to help us on our mothering journey. And I believe today even that there's a word on my heart that I want to share that will hopefully impact you wherever you are on your journey as a mother. So let's just pray now and then we'll get straight into the word. Father, I thank you today for your goodness, Lord, that your goodness, Lord, and your mercy follows us all the days of our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for your goodness, Lord, even in my own life, Lord, for your goodness to me in my own mother, Lord, and even in me as a mother and the blessing, Lord, that I have in my family, Lord. I just give you thanks. And Lord, I just pray today that you would use something of that, Lord, to bless other people here, Lord, that you would just cause us to rise higher as mothers, to stand up at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to launch straight in with the scripture that really I want to center things around today. And it's a scripture that's well known to us. It's in Philippians. And if you've been coming to church or you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know this scripture, but maybe you've read it 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever. But most of you will know this scripture in the book of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. So this book was written by the Apostle Paul for the church at Philippi, and that was a church that had a lot of women. Women were prominent in this body, so I like how it's kind of written probably for us women as well. Here we go. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," or you could say petition, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I know that we've even had that scripture shared here in recent weeks, but sometimes it's a challenging one to attain, like be anxious for nothing. Have no anxiety for anything. It sounds like it's way out there. "But in every single thing, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It sounds good in theory, doesn't it? Maybe you've tried it. Maybe you think, I've tried the whole be anxious for nothing scripture. It's not quite working for me. But we're going to go through it anyway today. And I'd just like us to consider the verse really in three parts. So the first part, be anxious for nothing. You know, anxiety is clearly not a new problem. We sometimes think in our society there's so much anxiety out there today. There's so much stress. Oh, depression is rife in our world. Anxiety is not a new problem. It was clearly a problem back in the church at Philippi. It was clearly an issue for the women in that church. And it doesn't change. Anxiety is not a new thing. But the truth is that God does not want us to live our lives in a state of anxiety and in a state of stress. And, you know, sometimes as mothers, there can be this thing where people say, see, once you're a mummy, you worry about everything, don't you? When you're a mummy, you just worry. It's just part of being a mummy. But, you know, I don't believe that that's what God wants for us as mothers. And there is plenty that you could potentially worry about. Like, you start off with the newborn baby. It could be the growth chart, couldn't it? Where are they in the growth chart? And let me tell you, I did think about the growth chart because we are not tall people in our family. So there's the growth chart. There's the maybe how are they going to settle into school? And the further on you go, the more the anxiety can increase, actually. And I'm starting to realise that as your children get older, you don't have the same control because they're teenagers. Where are they going in that car? Who are they with? The control actually lessens and you have to let them go a lot more. I mean, I had this realisation a few years ago and it was kind of like a bit of a sick joke at the time when I realised it. I thought I was doing quite well in life, ticking off my little list. Got a job, tick that list. What do we say? Got married, I'll tick that off my list. Oh, I'm doing this quite well, tick that off my list. And then I realised, oh, I'm actually back to square one because I've got three children and now I have to walk through that whole journey again three times over with my three children. So I have to go through the whole exam rigmarole again. I have to go through the whole getting married, the whole meeting somebody, the whole potential broken heart. You have to walk through it again. So for me, parenting is becoming more of a trust again in God, that I just have to trust him all over again with everything. I don't expect to have everything all ticked off. I've got to just keep walking this journey. And some of us are more susceptible maybe to worry than other people. For me, I haven't been a big worrier, right? There's people that I know who worry constantly about the safety of their children. I am not that person. In fact, they still would do it now, but when they were younger, they used to play out in the garden and I wouldn't give it a second thought. They'd be climbing trees and stuff. I just wouldn't even be worrying about it. When you're married to David, you can't afford to worry about those sort of things because, you know, but they would be out and they'd be up the trees and one day somebody knocked on my door, some passerby that were driving by in their car, came up to the door in a really anxious state and they're like, your children out there, they're all up a tree. And I was like, I had to fake it. I had to say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me know. And then they drove off and I was like, what? So, you know, I haven't been a worrier, but I have had my areas that I have been maybe more vulnerable in that area. And maybe because I'm a teacher, it was quite intense about that, wasn't it, guys? I mean, Lydia said to me one time, I really just wish you weren't a teacher. I wish you were a hairdresser. Because when it comes to their schoolwork or when it came to their music practice, and still is the case, I'm quite intense. I'm kind of the driving force in the house. Have you done your homework? And if I didn't get to read them a story every night, if somehow that couldn't be part of the routine, like it was quite a big deal for me. But I know those are small things, but I also know that there can be anxieties in our lives and there can be anxieties over our children that aren't so small and they're not so easy to let go of. You know, maybe just something's happened to you in your childhood and it's not so easy for you just to let go of that anxiety over your child. But I believe that God's saying to us today, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, nothing. And he's just saying, stop it. Stop it with the anxiety. Stop fretting. Stop with the fear. Just stop it. Stop it. Don't do it. Refuse to just live that way. And as I was preparing as well, I just felt that for some people, the anxiety is actually over yourself, that you're not good enough. Somehow that you've failed in your parenting, that you're anxious because you think you've let your family down in some way. And we can all let our families down and we can all make mistakes. But God says, no, don't be anxious about that. Stop beating yourself up about that. Today, it has to stop. And I know there's genuine areas where there's no easy answers, but anxiety is not the place for us to live as mothers at this time. It's not where God wants us to be. And I also want to say it's not a badge of honor. It's not something to be proud of. I worry sick night and day about them. No, you are God's woman and you need to rise up at this time. Put that anxiety, put the world's way of doing it aside. There's a better way. There is a better way for you to live. And it doesn't involve anxiety. So that leads me on then to the second part of the verse, the better way that God has for us. And it says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the way the Message Bible says it is, instead of anxiety, do this. Instead of stressing out, instead of freaking out over what's happening in your family, instead of that, do this. Focus your attention. There's still plenty of room for words, so we can still do plenty of talking, which is good. But it might not be to the people that we normally talk to. It might not be to your friend stressing out about a situation. We need to talk to God about it. Okay? In everything by prayer, we need to spend time with him and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him. And I just feel that today some of us need to just steady ourselves again. Steady ourselves and start telling God again what we want. And I just feel that maybe there's people who God's saying, I actually haven't heard a petition from you in quite a while. I haven't heard you come to me with a request. I hear you talking a lot. I hear you stressing out. I hear you praying even about the situation, but I don't hear you petitioning me and asking me for something specific that you want to see happen in your family. It's time to stop stressing and it's time to start petitioning. Petitioning God. And he's saying, what is it that you want? Tell him what it is that you want. Jesus wants us to articulate it. He wants us to speak it. Do you remember when he said to the blind man couldn't see, he said, what do you want? Well, I think it's obvious what I want, but we need to say it. We've got to articulate it. And you can petition God for your family, for the situations that are going on in your home or your extended family, your grown children. You can still petition him for it. And, you know, we as mothers are passionate, aren't we, about our kids? Like, it's, you know, you'll not see something rise up in the mother until somebody touches their kids and then something different rises up in us. It's like the fighter instinct, you know, comes out in us. And I'll not tell you when that's come out in me, but it has. Okay, but articulate it and tell him what it is you want. There was one occasion when one of our family had to do something that I thought was very unfair on them. But basically, there was a situation where they were let down by some other people of their age. But in order to be faithful to what they said they would do, they had to follow through and they had to go to an event. And basically, there was nobody else at the event with them. And it was a big letdown. And I just looked at them and I thought, that is just not fair. I probably did cry. I can't remember if there were tears or not. But I was very upset that they had to do this and that they were trying to be faithful. And I just felt they'd been so let down. And I said to God in that moment, it was only a little thing, but I said to God, I'm not happy about this and I want recompense for this. I want to see her rewarded for what she's just done. And I want to see this situation turn around. You know, by the following year when they went to that event again, that situation had totally turned around because I petitioned God on behalf of my family. Myla has said I can share this example. It's kind of a wee funny one, isn't it, Myla? It's a good one. It's good. She's not embarrassed because it's not an issue anymore. But when Myla was a baby, well, I was concerned. She was a perfect little baby in every way. I mean, she was just lovely and it was all good and she was healthy. But she had this belly button, right? And the belly button, it was sitting out like this. Now, I knew this had not happened in my others. I mean, it was sitting right out. It wasn't good. But, you know, I didn't want to talk about it. I just wanted to pretend like it wasn't there and hopefully it was going to bounce back in. But I knew it wasn't going to bounce back in at the same time because it wasn't anything to do with the way it had been cut. I don't know why it happened. Anyway, it was massive. And I thought, gosh, this is... I didn't even say to David, I didn't even want to articulate it to David, right? But thankfully, he articulated it. He articulated it to me, okay? And we articulated it, or David did, faithfully, I have to say, articulated to God. And he just prayed over that belly button. Do you know, the next day, wasn't it the next day, that I was just so concerned, Miley was never going to be wearing a bikini, you know? The next day, that belly button had gone back in. But, you know, if we just thought, oh, well, but we have to petition it. We had to articulate it, or David had to articulate it to make his request known. And I know they're just little examples. Maybe today you have something great that you need to go back to God and articulate and petition him over. I'd like us just to turn to Exodus 2, because there's a great story here in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 2. So this is a story, an amazing story in the Old Testament about a woman called Jochebed. Has anybody ever heard about Jochebed? Right? She's not such a well-known character. But she was the mother of Moses. And she's mentioned briefly as well, not by name in the New Testament, but she is mentioned in the New Testament. But she was such an instrumental woman in bringing about the deliverance of God's people. And just to give a little bit of context, just Pharaoh at this time, he did not like how the Israelites were in slavery to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh did not like how they were fruitful. They were God's people, but they were fruitful and they were multiplying in number. And Pharaoh did not want this. He didn't like how they were doing, how they were going to take over. And he was intimidated by it. And at this time, this is when Moses was born. And Pharaoh had commanded, you probably remember this part of the story. Pharaoh had commanded that all the Hebrew baby boys be murdered, that every one of them be cast into the river. So what a stressful time to be pregnant with a baby, knowing if this is a boy, oh, you cannot even begin to imagine what that must have been like. Horrendous for that mother. But we're going to start reading here just in chapter 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. Oh dear. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And a sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. He was a crier. Moses was a crier. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." You know, Jochebed, when she looked at this baby, she knew he was something special. And you know, sometimes maybe just through life, we've lost sight maybe of how special our child even is. But to God, this child that you have, this adult child, they are born for such a time as this. Your child, they are not just mediocre. Even though you might think, oh, they look mediocre, they're mediocre at school. They are not mediocre. They are born in the plan and the purpose of God for this time, just as Moses was. So I want to say today, look at your child and see, they are special. They're special. God has an amazing purpose at this time. And you know, these are challenging times for us to be bringing children into this world, for us to be raising children, for us to be watching our grandchildren. They are difficult times, just as it was in the time of Moses. So I am sure that that mother in that story, I'm sure she spent time over those 3 months petitioning God and asking him. She knew he was special. She knew there was a destiny on his life. And I'm sure she got before God and she said, "What am I going to do about this child? What is it? What can I do to save this life?" She wasn't just prepared to do things the way the world was doing it. And that's the trap that we need to get out of as well. We don't want to do things just the way everyone else out there is doing it, because that's the way it's done these days. Somebody says you have to do it this way, you do it that way. No, we're called to live in a different way. Your child, your grandchild, is born for this time. And, you know, I believe that she did get a word from God about a strategy that she could use, because if she'd been freaking out in anxiety like we talked about earlier, she would never have got this strategy. But she got a strategy from God about what she could do. And we need, as mothers, we need as parents, we need to get a plan from God for our kids. We need to get a word from Him about our children. Not a word that maybe the pastor gives or somebody maybe says something about your child and you cling on to that. God wants to give you a word for your children, and He can speak to you a word that will sustain you about your kids. And I have asked God that again. I mean, my life, it's not like a 3-day prayer and fast where I'm all somewhere seeking God on behalf of my family. I just don't do that sort of thing. I just don't have the lifestyle that allows for those times all the times, whilst that would be amazing. I remember one day just driving to work in Belfast, and I said, Lord, I want a word. I just want one word for each one of my kids as I'm on this journey to work. And He gave me it. And you know, when you get a word from God about your family, when you get a word from God about your child, it will sustain you. We can know these things. We don't have to wait for a prophet. We don't have to wait for someone else to come through the church to speak it. He will tell you. And it's a word from God that you can hold on to. And I did want to just say, you certainly do not need to hold on to what their birth sign is. And you certainly don't need to read their stars. And please hear me, but I know Christian people that do this. When you've got God, your Father, who is there to help you, to help you as a mother, to help you as a parent, you do not need to go reading some take a break. Well, it's probably not take a break anymore, is it? Back when I was younger, it was take a break or something like that. But you certainly don't need to go to magazines or papers or online or Facebook or anything else to get a word about your kids, that they're somehow special. They are special. They're God's. He's got a plan for them. He's got a destiny for them. And He can speak to you directly about that. Amen. So I love how whenever Jochebed and her husband are mentioned in the New Testament, it says they were not afraid. So they had a strategy, they had a plan from God, and they were not afraid. They were able to hold on to that word from God. And it's a word from God that will sustain you as a parent. It's a word from God that will sustain you as a mother. And that brings me really to the third part of the verse, strangely enough, back to Philippians 4. The third part of the verse, it's verse 7, really. Okay. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, peace doesn't come like some type of a fuzzy feeling that you now have that will stay there with you forever, and you just have a, I'm at peace now. I'm at peace. It doesn't really work like that for me. But peace comes when you've had time with God, when you know who He is, when you fellowship, when you know His character. That's where the prayer comes in. You spend time with Him. You talk with Him. You're in fellowship. Peace comes through knowing His character and through the word that God places in your heart that once it's there, nothing can stand in the way of that. It surpasses your understanding. So there might be a circumstance and you're like, this is horrendous. But you know that you know that you know that God spoke a word to your heart and your mind. And it will guard your heart. It will guard your mind. And that's where the peace comes from. You won't be afraid. And you'll know that the destiny of your child who is born for such a time as this, that there's a purpose in their life and that you can trust in God's plan for their life. They are so special. Each and every one of your family are so, so special. They're not written off by any means, please. I just feel to say that today. There's not one who is written off, even through their own mistakes. Just come back to that plan that God has for them. And I just love kind of in the last part of this now, I just love how God's faithfulness and His goodness is seen in this story. This just blesses me as a mother. Because in verses 7 to 9, I love this wee bit, it says, Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." Oh, that blesses me as a mother, because what were the chances that she was going to get to bring that baby back home, and she was going to keep him? As in those days, the nursing mother, it went on for a number of years. What were the chances when she put that baby in the river that she was going to get to bring him back home and nurse him? It just shows me the goodness of God that just blows us away. The goodness of God that goes beyond what we thought God could do in a situation. His goodness. And it's his goodness that we can look forward to today. You know, in Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14, it says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And wherever you are on your journey today as a mother, maybe if you're not a mother yet, this is the scripture I just want to bring to us now as we just get ready to finish. "I wouldn't have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know, there are good things to look forward to. There are good things ahead. I know maybe now it doesn't seem like it, but we need to believe that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord, not in eternity. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the lives of our families. So this whole anxiety, and for me, it just feels so low-level parenting. The whole, "Oh, I'm such a worried mother." Get over it. Honestly, stop that. Rise up as a woman. Rise up as a parent and start to petition God for what you want to see. Take hold of some things. Let the nonsense go. Let the anxiety go. Take hold of some things. Take hold of a word from God that is what he has for you, his best that he has for you. And just get ready to see his goodness that is going to be seen in your life, his faithfulness that's going to be seen in the life of your family. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.